Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
How would you describe some of the adjustments that you made defensively after Oregon State's first series or two?
I was just more all about the communication that we all had to do when it came to what the players were seeing on the field, what they had to say they were seeing, and then what we had to do to be able to make it right. The biggest thing was just making sure we couldn't let guys get to the second level to cut off some of the guys who were flowing.
What did you see from Edifuan getting in there, and how limited was he in terms of the kind of packages that you wanted to use him?
Yeah, well, we had him on a pitch count as he gets himself back into the flow of things. Obviously, he wanted to be able to play and do a little more than he probably could have. But just kind of being in line with what we want from him, from the athletic trainers, we all just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So I think we'll be able to expand his role a little more here coming in this week.
Would you say he's full go Saturday, or is that a...
Yeah. He was full go, just in more in a limited full go capacity, you know, to where we just didn't want to burn him up. But it's unique when you get to this time of the year for someone. You're in game 10, but it's really week one for his body. So we've really been kind of almost like Navy SEAL training during the week to get his body level where it needs to be so you can get him caught up to the mid-season form.
Did you see him starting Saturday?
More than one series?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, and what we did is we kind of had a goal of having him on the field for a selected amount of plays per quarter, and that way we could get to everything on the back end. We were not able to get him in the fourth quarter just because of the amount of series that occurred.
Could you see him start it Saturday?
Yeah. We just have to get through practice and be able to see kind of how things play out.
It's been a struggle for you guys to force turnovers outside the last play of the game. I think it's one in the last five games. How do you go about emphasizing that and enforcing something that doesn't always come easily?
Yeah, well, and the thing that you still have to do from our standpoint is just, like we tell the players, we still have to stay on course. Something that we're doing, that we're drilling, that we're doing, we're working, we're thinking about it. When you leave the building, you got to dream about it. When it comes to being able to get takeaways, and we see all of the games that you see during this time of the year, the takeaways predict and challenge the outcome of games. So we just have to continue to attack the ball at all costs from our standpoint. Sometimes you're going to get lucky, and sometimes you have to create your own favor as well. So,
what's been the biggest difference you think on third down? You guys were 70% on the UCLA and Arizona State back-to-back games, and now it's under 40 in the last three. So obviously a big improvement there. How much of that in your mind is because of the opponent? How much of that is because of what you guys are doing?
It's the guys, probably a little bit of both. The individuals are making the plays that they're supposed to make, and it's been a point of emphasis for us to make sure that we get off the football field on third down.
How much of a difference did Dom Hampton make, just especially in the run game? It seems like he's been really solid in the run game this year.
Yeah, Dom has been a consistent force for us. When you have your hybrid husky position that can be a forceful backer but also be a very good coverage player, it allows you to be able to do some things to where he can fit his run space and be effective, but also he can do his job and carry it out at a high level in the pass game.
It sure seems like you're as healthy as you've been all year. How does that change things?
No, it's what you want when you get into November. As they say, November, that's the times to remember. And you want to be operating on all cylinders. That gives you the best chance to win your championships when you have all of your dogs that you could choose from. It makes it a lot better for you as an organization.
I know that this is your first year here, and I'm sure you've heard that the Apple Cup is a big rivalry, but how much are you aware of how big this Oregon game means to the fan base?
I would assume it's pretty good. Just knowing some of the history of the game and when you see people around town. But I could also know, having been around the game for a long time, that all rivalry games are important to everybody. So we know the critical importance for us to be able to make sure we can bring this dub back to UW.
Have you game planned for anybody like Bo Nix in the past?
Mm-hmm. A runner, athlete. The funny thing, we've had the game plan with our own quarterback here in spring ball. So, but the one thing we've been very, I respect what Bo Nix is doing at the quarterback position. He's a very good manager, very athletic. As you see, that there are some times where he makes awesome throws and their receivers are wide open, running backs wide open. And then there are times he makes plays with his feet. I think we saw against Stanford where it was a busted play and he ran 80 yards for a touchdown. So you have to make sure that you're just going to be able to be effective in containing him. And every one person on defense, you have to have your 111. All guys have to do their job and carry it out to the fullest.
When you look at the film, what's a lot of work to only give up one sack? Is it Bo throwing the ball away? What's allowed them to just limit the number of sacks he's got?
Well, he's able to make guys miss also. And some of it is just the timing or the efficiency of the throws. It's going to be thrown on time, but also he can do a lot with his feet to be able to make you miss.
How'd you grade your defensive line?
From Saturday? Yeah, defensive line played well. When it comes to being able to knock guys back, there's some things you can always continue to improve on. But for the most part, those guys made their plays, and to see Thule, he was knocking guys back all game long. And when you talk about making plays in the backfield, getting lockouts, throwing guys, it's what you want when it comes to physicality. And we really challenge our guys, because prior to, we said this is going to be a real football game, where it's going to be about the physicality that you bring, and your physicality has to be matched. And we think we were able to do that all throughout the game. And you know, it took a series for our guys to really get adjusted with respect to what they were doing. And when you're in the chess match, we had to make our chess adjustments, and that's what we had to be able to do to win a football game.
If there was a downside to the defensive effort, that seemed to me like it was the worst tackling effort that had all year, at least in the first quarter and a half, I think. They have to settle down a little bit?
Yeah, some of it had to settle down and be able to fully get off blocks, because there were some times we had missed a couple of tackles where you were trying to disengage from a block. So once guys got their technique cleaned up, the tackling element cleaned itself up as well.
There were two plays, I think, about the first half where they went forward on fourth and short, and we were saying that they really did not have a lot of respect for your defense when they're doing that. Do you feel that way when a team goes for a fourth and one from the 6 and fourth and 3 from the 15? That's almost personal when a team tries to do that?
Well, you always want to take that approach, but I think as you look at the big picture of the game, you have to think about what is on the sidelines on our side when you think about our offense. So it's something that we talk about as a staff, and we have to be prepared for. Because most of the time, field goals may not give you chances to win football games when you have an offense that's scoring almost 50 points a game. So we were prepared for them to go for it on fourth down. But also, that's not something new to them. They have shown prior to that they're going to go for it on fourth down as well.
Anything else for Coach Andy, guys?
All right.
Thank you very much. Go Dogs.
How we doing?
Good. How do you get to 50 points a game from where you're at right now?
Well, got to score in the opening drive to start with, right? I think there's a couple things that obviously could have went better. A little more balance would help. Consistency in the run game. And I think one thing we have done better at, obviously, is short yardage. We haven't got stalled out in that in a while. And keeping drives alive. I mean, I give the kids credit. I mean, we made it dramatic, but whatever our third down statistic was, it was pretty good. And I think, you know, one of the messages I gave to the guys was on Sunday, just talking about, you know, you think back to the UCLA game where we got the football, went down, scored. There was 4 minutes left roughly in the game, and we didn't end up getting the ball back. So we're pinned with roughly 4 minutes left, and we're at a pretty critical third down, and Devkolb, you know, converts for us. You know, we probably would have had to punt the football in that situation. And Oregon State was doing a good job milking clock at times, and if we wouldn't have got the ball back, who knows if we win. So that was probably the biggest growing point for us, I thought, just the ability to come through when we absolutely had to, and they did it a number of times. So a lot of things to still clean up, but no, it was a good finish.
It did take you guys a little bit, really from the receiver perspective, to get used to how physical they were. That kind of takes some time to that.
Thinking about that one, I think on the outside, yes, potentially. With the press coverage, I thought they did a good job, and I think they have two of the best corners in the league. So I do think that took a little getting used to, but we were moving the guys around enough that we didn't feel like that was going to be a huge part. Honestly, before the game, I knew that catching the football was going to be a test. I thought we dropped a number of footballs prior to the game, and I kind of knew that going in, and had to talk to Mike about that, hey, the ball is fluttering a little bit, and even when, you know, you make a really tough throw in the wind, it doesn't always mean it's going to be an easy catch, you know, and it might be a little bit off target. And so there was a lot of things going on there at the passing game that I give the kids credit where they ironed it out and more or less stuck with it, you know, because I think there can be a frustration piece there when you're used to having success and you're not hitting on some throws that are everyday throws for you. And, you know, guys are getting open, and that part's hard, and they did a good job with it, though. They kept their heads up. Nobody was bickering. They just kept at it, and, you know, when they needed to make them, they did.
What was the reaction in the box when Cam Davis caught that ball on third down?
Man, I'll be honest. In those situations, I normally have my call sheet, and I got a couple plays with my fingers on them. I'm thinking about them, and I literally paused for almost a half second. I was like, freaking catch that. I mean, like, and you saw the three refs actually coming in and circling CD and all putting their hand up. I was like, that's a no doubter, but I wasn't going to give them any time, so we went a tempo play to make sure they couldn't review it. But yeah, it was a phenomenal catch. And the ball didn't even move. That was the most impressive part. When CD hit the ground, the ball didn't even shake. So it was one of the better catches I've seen in a clutch moment in my life.
Coach, can you just kind of walk us through the last series? You had a first and goal under a minute to go, and you decided to pass the ball a couple of times, and then instead of running it, but you still had timeouts, and then you moved it over for the field goal. Can you just kind of walk us through that series?
Yeah, the two plays we had were plays that we had repped a ton, felt very confident the ball was going to be safe as far as where we were putting it, and thought they were the two best plays we had inside the 3-yard line to get it in the end zone and win the game and seal it. And honestly, the first one, if you know, Mike probably has that over to do again. He probably hits it. You know, just missed CD behind him. It's a throw and a play he's made 100 times. And, you know, then the next one, I thought he did a good job of being safe with the football and hit J-Mac with the ball, and we just couldn't come up with it. So we just felt good about that, not risking the clock or somebody getting buried on the bottom of a pile or some type of exchange, right? Your hands are cold or whatever under center, all that good stuff. And I just thought those were the two safest plays that we had repped the most, that we had a chance to win the football game right there.
Did you have your finger on?
Nope, I knew those ones.
Moving it to the middle or?
No, that's the easy one. We repped that every week, every Friday. I don't. Coach DeBoer had mentioned that we haven't done that in a game. I had to really think about that. I mean, honestly, we've done that so many Friday and Thursday walkthroughs that it's almost incredible that has never happened in the game, because literally we do that play every week. So that one was pretty easy.
You know, I know they're just titled starters and guys that come in immediately and lineups flip every week, but did you notice that you basically had three reserves score all your touchdowns against Oregon State? And I looked it up, and I think you've had almost like 60% of your touchdowns have come from guys that have come off the bench that day.
Yeah.
About your offense?
I think it says how deep the depth chart as far as guys that will contribute, you know, which I felt like we knew that coming out of fall camp, that there was going to be a lot of guys that were going to make plays. And I guess I really don't, you know, I don't look at guys as coming off the bench really, you know, whether it was Wayne or CD or, you know, Giles or J-Mac, you know, those guys are all capable of being starter type caliber players.
Well, it's like with Cam, he becomes a starter, he doesn't score, some partly because some guy ripped his helmet off. So
right.
It's just kind of a weird situation.
Yeah, no, I think that there's, you know, it shows too that there's guys that are competing, trying to get on the field and are doing enough, honestly, in preparation and practice to warrant being on the field, which I think says a lot about, you know, the depth of a couple of those spots.
You guys put an emphasis on your running backs, their hands ability to catch out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Has that been something, like the catch from Cam was kind of a, you know, a huge moment. Is that something that you had confidence as soon as you got here? Has he developed that? Tell me about his just ability to catch out of the
backfield. I think there's guys, when you initially watch them, that you're like, he catches the football pretty naturally. And there's guys that you knew would have to work on that a little bit more. And I think that just naturally, just because of how we practice and what we rep, those guys, you know, get better at it. And there's, you know, the Will Nixons of the world are pretty obviously good hands. And CD, I always thought I had good hands. I never saw him out on the field and was worried, like, oh, he won't be able to catch the ball. But I think that they definitely have just more opportunities, honestly, to get better at it.
Right. What was the conversation like with Mike at halftime? He had the pick six, and then the next drive on fourth down kind of almost had another one. It could have been house keys.
Yep.
What was the talk with him like at halftime after that kind of sequence there for him?
Yeah, you know, that's an easy one, honestly. You know, just challenge him to do what he's been doing all year. You know, don't press when it gets tougher. You can't try to make throws that aren't there. And just when it feels, you know, difficult, remember your defense is playing good, and we have to take what they give us and create when we need to create. And so for us, creating doesn't mean forcing. And so sometimes it means using your feet, getting out of the pocket, finding different outlet throws, which Mike did a couple times in the third and fourth quarter, did a really good job of signaling some freebies that he had out there. And those things sound and seem really, you know, obvious and simple and but in the moment, they're a little bit harder just to convert on a five-yard out route, right? So I think Mike got back to, you know, remembering it doesn't have to be. And if it's, you know, there's no throw there and we got to make it happen with the run game, he's got to trust that those things can happen.
You were just at Austin last year.
Mm-hmm.
Fresno, almost won down there.
Yep.
What do you make of playing down there?
That's a great environment. I mean, you know, I told the guys yesterday, I just said, man, this is why you come to play college football, especially at a place like Washington, to play in a rivalry game against a good football team that is, you know, got a lot on the line. You know, we've got a lot on the line as well, and they're a team that's looking to try to make the playoffs right now. So, I mean, I think it's a phenomenal environment. The fans are great, and they love their Ducks, and we're excited about it.
Right, with Mike and his demeanor and his kind of bounce back, what is he like on the headset after making a mistake like the pick six? What's that back and forth like after a mistake like that?
He's calm. It's one of the best, you know, characteristics that Mike has, is he doesn't get overwhelmed either way, too excited or, you know, too low, and, you know, just wants to know if I saw anything different, and, you know, just it's all, he's looking for feedback and trying to find out. That one he knew right away. He forced it, and that was an easy progression he's been through quite a few times, and he just was trying to make a little bit too much happen in that moment. And there really isn't a lot of dialogue about that. He knows. I'm like, did you see that defender? Yep, I shouldn't have forced it. That was dumb, you know, and he wanted to make up for it. So I think it was, you know, for Mike, I thought it was pretty cool for him personally, you know, just seeing him be in a situation in UCLA where he didn't fully get to take advantage in the end, where it was like he could finish and win, where now he had the chance to come back and do it for his team and really take the only lead of the game for us.
Ryan, so what was that conversation with Michael on the last drive, just right before, like, you guys were talking, he's going to go out there, is it, we'll look for this, or you just, I mean, what was that like?
Yeah, there's a couple reminders on typical coverages that they have in backed up situations, and, you know, I don't think we necessarily had any type of information as far as like, hey, bad weather, they may try to, you know, do this or that, but in general, you think you're probably going to get more closed and man coverage just because of the weather and trying to force you to put the ball up and over people, make harder catches and wider throws and things like that. So just knowing those type of situations are possible. And then just a couple of tips and reminders on what to look for on zone indicators, on some things as far as why we're motioning people to indicate whether they were going to be in man or zone coverage and just little stuff like that to get them tuned back in and then execute the game plan.
What does it do for a quarterback? I know you said UCLA, he didn't have a chance to finish. He finishes this. What does that do just for his leadership and growth?
Yeah, I think it does something for everybody, right? You know, on the unit and the team, just as far as them believing that, you know, they can get it done. You know, and I think even back to the Cal game, you know, we weren't able to close that one out. You know, honestly, we ended up having to kick the ball away. And so this time, you know, really, I thought our best job of the year of truly closing the game out with our side of the ball. And defense played a phenomenal football game and set us up and kept us in the game all night. And so when we had to hit the home run, we did. And so I think the guys know that they're capable of that. But, you know, doing it at such a critical moment like that, I think, is obviously really a great building moment. I think the guys did a great job, too, of ownership on you know, missed opportunities, you know, where it didn't need to be as close as that. And but they beat a really good football team. Those kids were gritty, and they're well-coached, and they're in year five of Coach Smith's program, and they played good ball.
Did you, during the light delay, did you stay upstairs? Or did you,
yeah.
You did?
Yep.
Okay. How close were you guys to pulling your guys off the field?
I think, you know, for Coach DeBoer, I know he mentioned, you know, he went through all the normal checks of just thinking about, like, okay, are they cold or what's the weather like? And, you know, they were fine, with the exception of Mike. I guess he had to go sit on the bench and get warm. But everybody else was good. So I think that's part of it is, you know how long it takes to get all those guys back in the locker room and then get them back out. And it just seemed like there was, you know, more sense to keeping them put as long as the 15 to 20 minute mark that they initially gave us was going to hold true.
Coach, we didn't see, we only saw two of your running backs. We didn't see Wilmington, we didn't see Rich, and we didn't see Javion or Dumas. Of the guys that we didn't see, what's their status?
They're all healthy. They're good. I know Will got dinged a little bit in the game, and Sammy was a little bit sick on Wednesday. And so just from a rep standpoint and confidence, you know, CD and Wayne had really kind of push to the front of the line on that stuff.
And Rich?
Rich just, you know, he hadn't repped as much as the other two guys, and I felt like just more confidence to the other guys in the pass game too and pass protection. But Rich had a good week. He did a good job.
He had what could have been a damaging penalty on a sportsmanlike conduct on Troy.
Yeah.
Do you talk to him about tempering his aggressiveness in some way, or just what's the conversation?
Yeah. No, it's a... good question. It's a very technical conversation, actually. You want to be really detailed on what the foul actually is. And so, you know, I showed the clip to the whole offense and detailed to the O-line that you have to make sure that the player has established both of his feet on the ground. And once he's done that, then you can hit him again. And so when you watch the clip, Troy got the guy on the ground. He got up once clearly, and he hit him on the ground. The next time he was getting his feet set, but one of his feet, you know, his knee was still partially on the ground. So he hadn't established himself back on his feet, and you can't knock him back to the ground on that. So as a former O-line coach, been through that a couple times and have to be pretty, you know, clear on that. I know Coach Huff has done that. So just getting the reminder out to the guys of what exactly it has to look like, I thought was good, you know, because Troy, you want him to keep playing with an edge, and I thought the last two games he's grown a lot and played really, really aggressive. So you certainly don't want to snuff that out, but you want to make sure they know the technical part.
What stands out about Oregon on defense?
What's that? Stands out?
Yeah.
Variety, number one. They do a lot, especially in their coverage scheme. You're going to see almost everything that you could possibly imagine. They're almost down the middle as far as closed and open coverages and how they get to it and who they utilize from a personnel standpoint. You're going to see a multitude of personnel packages from dime, two different variations of their nickel package, bringing three different backers on the field, odd front, even front. So there's a lot of variety. They do quite a bit. So just got to be ready for that and see how they attack different offenses and what would relate to us the most and try to figure out how that applies to our guys. And then, you know, honestly, just be able to run our stuff, you know, and execute that way.
Does their offense, I think we've talked about this before, kind of dictate in any way what you guys do on offense? Maybe expecting a higher scoring game? Take more chances, be more aggressive?
I think, yes, for their defense, I think it does allow them to play more aggressive. That would be my, you know, just if you're watching a game chronologically, you can see them when they get a lead playing a little bit more aggressive, things like that. So I think that it does affect how they play a little bit, and they do have confidence in their offense to do that. So we'll certainly be aware of that, but I think there's enough out there on those guys that we should have an idea what they're going to do.
Yeah, have you been able to figure out how come Oregon has had two seasons? They had the first game where nothing went right, and then they've had an 8-game winning streak where everything's gone right. What hurt them in the start, do you know?
Oh, I think, you know, execution, like any other, you know, team trying to get their guys squared away, and they're playing obviously a really, really good opponent and a team that has been functioning within their own system for a number of years, and so you play a team like that and you are trying to do a lot, and maybe your guys aren't totally dialed into everything, and hats off to their staff for getting them squared away really quickly and figuring out what they were good at, you know. But you gotta give a lot of credit to a team like Georgia that was, you know, operating at a really, really high level, and Oregon figured out what they're going to be good at and have made those adjustments.
All right. Coach.
Thank you.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
All right. Good morning. Sorry about my voice. That wind had to yell a little bit louder on Friday night. So, but feel totally fine. So, just sound awful. But
how bad was it out there? The wind, from a throwing perspective, you think it was a real hindrance?
I think there were some throws, a couple throws. You know, the first three quarters when you threw towards their sideline, you were kind of throwing with the wind a little bit more, even though it was kind of going from west to east, the wind, it was kind of going towards their bench. And so I felt like most of the throws that were made that way, the spiral stayed tight. But in the fourth quarter, it felt like it was coming more from the south and the west. And I thought there were some throws in the fourth quarter where it affected it, even though the wind did die down during the intermission there with the lights. I mean, really, the wind felt like about 5 to 10 miles an hour there for about 15 minutes, and then it picked back up, and it was a little cooler breeze in the fourth quarter there, the last 10, 11 minutes. So I thought there were some throws. You know, Mike had a couple, the ones going to the left seemed to be more frequent in the fourth quarter when we were backed up. I think the drive we went, I don't know if it was three and out, but it was pretty quick. And he threw one kind of just wide left, and then a couple there at the end of the game, ones that he doesn't really miss. It seemed to be more of the ones that he had to kind of just take a little bit off of it, more so than the ones that he was just ripping. And I think, you know, Mike does a good job. That's one thing I've been really impressed with ever since I've known Mike is, you know, guys run crossing routes or, you know, it's those shorter throws, those 5 to 10 yard throws where some quarterbacks just throw at the same tempo and same speed every time. And he throws a really nice catchable ball, you know, especially on crossing routes and short routes. And he knows his personnel and when he's got to kind of lay it in there. But, that was one of those nights with the weather where you just kind of got to snap it off a little bit more, no matter what the length of the throw was.
I'm sure you've heard plenty about Oregon. You've been here, but how much of a sense do you have about what this game means to the program, the community, and all that?
I don't know if there's a speaking engagement that I've went to where they haven't emphasized how important it is to beat the Ducks. So it's certainly important. It's going to be fun because we've put ourselves in a spot where it means something. They've got themselves in a spot where it means something. And you had the rivalry on top of it. And it looks like it's going to be a great week weather-wise come Saturday. So it'll be a fun weekend.
After watching film, what really jumped out at you, both offense and defensively?
I think, defensively, other than the first drive, I thought we continued to grow. We were challenged, run-wise, the first drive there, and had a couple of tough breaks I thought go against us with, a penalty being called on the second play of the game. That gave them a free set of downs. It would have been second and 10. And then at the end, I felt, a couple guys in motion at the same time, should have been a penalty there. But I thought after that drive, we got on the sideline and a couple things. Just continue to emphasize the gaps that need to be fit by players and then also the intensity that you had to play with. I think it was the most physical team we've played when it came especially to the run game. And, we rose, I thought, and got better and met the challenge each and every drive of getting better. The third quarter, I thought we came out of the locker room with some more adjustments and just really locked in. And everyone trusting, not just that they would do their job, but the guy next to him would do his as well. And I thought we grew against it with our run defense. I don't think we've been challenged. A lot of the run has come from teams that have quarterbacks that can run, zone read, and things like this. This was, an offense that was coming right at you. So, we continue to find ways to get off the football field defensively. The question was asked about, the fourth down and them going for it. I think some of it has to do, too, with you look at what their season looks like in their kicking game. I think there were 7 for 12 kicking field goals all year, and there's been some chip shots. And so I think a lot of it is we knew that they would be going for it. Just anything outside of a certain range, they probably didn't have a lot of confidence kicking, especially with the wind the way it was. Offensively, I think just finding a way, even when it's not perfect and it's not going how you normally play. I mean, third down and 10, 11. Third down and goal from the 24. I just emphasize the 1-0 mindset. Like, forget what just happened on first and second down and then executing on third down. And I think there's different ways that we've love what we've done as far as finding different ways to win football games. Whether we're ahead and figuring out how to close it out, or in this case, we were behind at the end of every quarter. And really, the last 8 seconds of the game were the only ones that we led. So, just proud of the way we continue to fight and find different ways to win.
Kalen, the foul on Jeremiah, when he went to the head on the sack, and they scored 2 plays later.
Yeah.
The guys are off the field.
Yeah.
Killer at that point in time. I mean, is the learning lesson for Jeremiah just don't go to the head, simple?
Yeah, Jeremiah, you just got to stay lower. There's a missed opportunity on a sack he could have had, I think, probably the second quarter. It was going the other direction. As well, where the quarterback escaped him, and it's just got to play lower as you get closer to the quarterback. You got to keep your head up, though, because once a guy ducks, you're lower, too, and it gives the perception that you're going helmet to helmet. So those are tough situations, because you're trying not to get the penalty, and almost as you get in there, you react, and you're not sure what the quarterback's going to do, and you're not trying to get a personal foul, but you're trying to make the play, and you just got to play football. And he's just got to stay lower and not be up around that head area. So, Jeremiah, I mean, that was a point in the game where I feel like we make that play. We get the ball. They're going to be punting into the wind. And that was the chance where we can stack some series on top of each other, both offensively and defensively, and really get the momentum continuing to go in our direction. But they go down and score and make it a 21-14 game, and we had to respond with our own drive, the end of the third, going to the fourth.
What's up with Zion's status? Looked like he got banged up.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right. I think he'll be fine for this week. So, wasn't able to finish the game, but I think he'll be fine going into this week.
You're punting was a little hit and miss.
Our what?
Your punt.
The punt, yeah, punting, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that and what you're going to do to clean that up this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it just starts with, you know, the windy conditions and, you know, just the jitters maybe to field the ball. You can just, you know, you guys can watch it for yourself, but just the confidence to not about the kick, but just, you know, catching it. And Jack's, I think, done a lot better job, you know, as the season's gone on of becoming more consistent. And this was a new variable that was kind of thrown at him and, you know, learning from it. Unfortunately, we get to learn from it and still win the football game. And he'll, you know, continue to work on those opportunities, especially when we have windy conditions, and take, you know, take advantage of that the next time we have practices and those type of, you know, getting conditions. So, you know, the protection was fine. It's just, you know, the ball's on the ground. It takes longer. And actually, the ball went off our own face mask. I don't know if you really saw, but the ball goes off of one of our guys' face masks because the ball's on the ground, you know, when Jack picks it up. So I think we're fine with our you know, what we're doing. It's just, you know, we got to be more consistent, especially punting into the wind, which was pretty much all of them, I think, in the game on Saturday.
You obviously have Friday. You have a couple different punters you brought one in. Do you still feel confident that Jack is the guy for that spot? You obviously have Kevin as well. Punt somebody else get an opportunity, or how are you approaching that?
Yeah, I think right now Jack is still certainly the guy that we stick with, you know, based on what he's done, you know, for especially the last 3-4 games. And all it takes is, especially when we haven't punted many times throughout the course of the year, all it takes is one game where you kick 4 times in the wind and one gets blocked, and now your average drops significantly. So he's been hitting them in practice and hitting them in games, I think, better and more consistent. So, you know, that's where we're at. And Kevin comes to work every day and has continued to get better too.
What's the real challenge with this Oregon offense?
Yeah, the challenge is that they can do both run and pass, you know, and then you got a quarterback that can make things happen. I think he's averaging over 7 yards a carry. You know, that's, you know, extremely significant, I think, because you focus on the skill players around him and the efficiency they're operating with, and they do a good job of making sure they're not running a lot of plays into bad looks, probably very similar to what we do offensively. And so you got to stop run and pass. And, you know, this weekend it was more about us stopping a team that was going to run the football. And different weeks it's been that. And, you know, UCLA was very similar because I think DTR, you know, running quarterback, can throw it, has good skill around him. Probably the most similar to that. Not schematically, but just the type of personnel and style of offensive play, you know, being balanced that we're going to see.
Does your experience in that stadium do anything for this game? I mean, it's different players, obviously.
Yeah.
You've been there. Almost won down there last year.
Yeah.
Do anything for you?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it gives me a sense of understanding of what we're going to see and, you know, okay, do we, you know, how much crowd noise and when the crowd noise, and, you know, just gives me a better understanding. But, you know, the guys who haven't played there, it's hard for me to really pass that on to them. And we just got to, you know, worry about ourselves and, you know, use that information to make our practices, you know, significant and, you know, prepare well for the game.
Going back to Bo, is he fair to say the best quarterback you're going to face so far this season?
Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, I really compared him to DTR. You know, I just think that those two guys are similar with what they can do with their feet. They're experienced guys, you know, have played a lot of snaps at a high level. And, you know, I think, I mean, Nix is, you know, playing with a ton of confidence. You can just see the way he's operating. The game has slowed down for him. And, man, I can't say enough good things about, you know, what he's doing leading that offense. And, you know, they're one of the best in the country for a reason.
What was the impact of having Eddie back? And Coach Inge said he might even start this week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was on a kind of a limited number and went through the week and just felt good, I think, after the game. And that's what you want to hear and what you want to see, and continues to get his feet underneath him, getting some game experience and getting some of the rust kicked off of off, I think, was a big for him. And this week, you know, it's just kind of like what I think about with Jackson Kirkland. You know, you're just kind of bringing guys back and taking that next step. And even though they've played a lot of football snaps, there's still, you know, been a long time since they were on the football field. So it was great having Eddie out there. He comes and gives me a big old hug before every game, and you know, all season long when he hasn't been suited up. And you know, it was my time to give him a big one before the game on Friday, just because I know it's been a long time waiting. And he's kept such a positive attitude through all of this from the beginning, and that's what you'd expect from Eddie, just to, you know, you guys that know him. And so so happy to see him out on the football field, and can't wait for him to, and I know he wants to make an even bigger impact this weekend.
Your wide receivers just get a lot of attention, but it just seems like every game, one of your tight ends or both of them just seems to make a real impactful play. Those two guys kind of your secret weapon?
Yeah, they're guys that control the middle of the field, and you know, there's times they get to other spots in the field as well, but you know, we have the luxury of playing them out in space. You see them flexed out even at the number one, you know, widest to the sideline, to the field, to the boundary, moving around. They're intelligent guys, you know, that, you know, really love, you know, being put in all those spots. And their flexibility allows us to do a lot of stuff, you know, because now all of a sudden you don't got your receivers just lined up as the number one or the number one and number three. You can line up your receivers at number two and three because you trust that blocking on the perimeter and running routes on the perimeter and, you know, even going down the sideline. I mean, Jack's touchdown was him playing the number one receiver, running down the sideline. And Mike, I didn't realize when it happened how he actually really threw on rhythm, and his progression went boom, 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 you know, and all of a sudden there's Jack running his route, trusting that if I do my job, the ball might find me. And, you know, the timing was actually better. I thought it was more of a kind of a broken down play when it happened. But, you know, Mike just went through his progression, and there was Jack, you know, running down the sideline and like it was no big deal. So those guys are always big in our program, you know, as far as their production. And these guys just fit what we do really well.
And Devin, on the last drive on your third down.
Yeah.
Was it screen?
The tight end delay. Yeah, been an important part of our scheme for many years. And, you know, he really understands, you know, he's involved in the protection a lot, and he just kind of leaked himself out. And, you know, the last couple of yards are going to be his. He's got to fight for the first down, knows where the sticks are at, and, you know, pushes his way through there. Just a lot of confidence that Devin would make that play. We got the right look, and we stuck with the play, and Mike put it right where he could catch it clean and stay on the run. So, Devin's just, I think, continued to grow too each and every week, you know, becoming more consistent.
You had Cam Davis on kickoff return this past weekend. Do you feel like you kind of maybe found something with him rather than having some success in that area?
Yeah, I thought he did a really nice job. I thought that maybe he could have hit one a little bit harder and maybe squirted through for even a bigger play. But, you know, that just comes with time and reps. And so, you know, he got his opportunity, and, you know, it's just part of the process here as we continue to figure out our personnel and exactly who's the best. And you want to find it sooner than later, but we have other guys too that have done a good job with Giles and CD. I thought did a great job. So, you know, that's something we'll continue to evaluate this week and weeks ahead.
Hey, when it comes to recruiting, obviously in this class, you guys got most of your commitments before the season started. Do you have any sense for what your guys' record so far, maybe being 7-2 and putting on tape what you put on tape has kind of done for your efforts with certain prospects who maybe were in a little bit of wait-and-see mode?
Yeah, I think it's really solidified the ones that were committed to us before, you know, and made them feel really good about their choice. And I think there are some that are still, you know, trying to figure out that are uncommitted. There might be, you know, two, three guys that, you know, we could probably still take. And, you know, I think, you know, they continue to see what we do and become more confident. And I think not just what we do in the football field, but how we do it and what our culture is and how, you know, what our locker room feels like, you know, with the guys in there and all the personalities. And so, you know, all those things just verifying what we do each and every week with the wins that we continue to accumulate. So it's been certainly helpful.
How much did you hear in the summer from guys who maybe liked Washington or were interested, but just weren't going to make a decision until they saw what you guys were about on the field?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's always part of it. Different places I've been, I think they always, you always want to see it really happen. And it's not just the players, but it's also the coaches that they play for at their high schools. You know, they want to see it happen, and they want to see the proof of you know, victories and, you know, in the win column. But they also want to hear what the locker room. I think that's a lot of it too. Is what's it like to be in this program? What's the culture feel like? You know, coaches always say the right things, you know, that it's a family, you know, but like, is that really what it is when you're going through the good times, but especially in the bad times, you know, a couple of win losses that we had earlier in the year, and how do you get through that? And how does it feel when those times are happening? So a lot of these guys are all connected, right? They're asking the players on our team who they know, the coaches are asking, you know, their former players who were with us now. And I think there's a lot of good vibes out there about our program. And so it's only going to continue to trajectory go upward.
Sorry, but there's some coaches that have wanted their kids to look at every game and say, nameless, faceless opponent, same approach every single week. Then others will say, no, this is a bigger game this Saturday. Where do you kind of fall at?
Yeah, it's a huge game. But our process should not hopefully change, because hopefully we've been preparing at the extreme high level, at the standard, right? That's what we call it, the standard, all year long. And we talked about that early in the season, you know, with the Michigan State game. You know, okay, why would it be any different as far as our process than it was week one or week two? But doesn't mean it's not a huge game for us. You know, it's a big rivalry game. It's a fun game to be part of. There's different vibe. There's a different feel to it. So it is a huge game. But our process needs to be something where it's consistent with what we do and how we prepare each and every week.
Do you get a sense of the emotion that's involved here? Because outside of the Northwest rivalry, two ranked teams, mm-hmm. Two new coaches,
yeah.
There's still this underlying thing of emotion. And the best example of that is 1 year Oregon beats Washington 58-0. Washington comes back and beats it 66-0 the next year, with the coach saying, you're going to score at least 59 points this year. So, I mean, there's just this real underlying current of, fan bases.
Yeah, alumni, right? We got to represent, you know, we got to, the alumni that have poured so much into this program, you know, we want to make them proud, and, you know, we want to make our fan base proud, and I can promise you we'll give it everything we got all week long. These guys, you know, want to continue to make this a great season, want this program to be better than it was when they got here, and they want, you know, we're still writing the story for the 2022 Huskies.
Yeah, you guys have played a couple of road games, but this, in terms of the environment, would be probably a lot different from anything you've seen so far. Do you feel confident? What's your sense of what the reaction is going to be in a very hostile environment, unlike something that they've seen this season?
Yeah, well, I think just as far as throughout the week, we'll certainly be playing a lot more, you know, fan noise than we've had, especially for the offense, because we know this will be the loudest stadium we've been in this year on the road. But yeah, the excitement, I think, is going to be through the roof. You know, just probably controlling that is going to be the big thing. And so let them be high, right? Because we want to play with great energy and intensity. But you got to make sure that it's something that isn't out of control, because you got to sustain it for four quarters or then some, you know, if needed. So you can't just be part of the highs and the lows, and you know, we need to be steady. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. Our guys are gonna be fired up. They're gonna be excited. You know, it's gonna be an awesome challenge.
Taylor, I know this game last year was the point where everything went wrong. You know, they finished with four straight losses. They lost the coach. They lost the rivalry. Has that been totally flushed, or has there been any discussion about that? You know, what happened last year?
Yeah, there's been really no discussion. I think this is just about literally our team right now. I think we're far enough into the season, and we've really got our own identity of who we are, and we're trying to just be the best we can be. And so I don't think anything from the past is really affecting us right now. I don't really feel like that has anything to play with where our guys are at emotionally.
You said that you were as healthy for this game as you've been all year. We didn't see Javon Parker. We didn't see Tristan Dunn. Being as healthy as you are, is that just a matter of the rotation, or have you definitely decided there's some guys that you're going to do everything you can to conserve the red shirt?
Yeah. You said Javon Parker.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think just, yes, you got some guys coming back. And, you know, so Tristan and Javon and those guys, you got some guys that are coming back that were – upperclassmen, more experienced, and so they played more snaps, you know, because they are back in the rotation. So our secondary is as healthy as it's been, you know. So Tristan, who definitely was helping us get through some of those times with some snaps that he was playing, now he's not completely healthy as of a few weeks ago, but he's certainly getting there and, you know, taking part in practice again. So he's ready to go, you know, if called upon.
He's right on that cusp of Rich. Has he played more before him?
I know Javon's pretty much past that point, so yeah.
And Tristan?
Tristan is still in a redshirt mode, I believe. He's got three. Yeah, I mean, we get to this point in the season, if we can all save it for all these guys. Again, Monday, today, this afternoon, we review all the guys, making sure, and we talk about the plan moving forward throughout the course of the week. So I think we're going to be fine based on how we came out of this last week's game, you know, in the secondary position, to where if we can save guys at this point of the year, you know, we're going to try to do that. You know, and even if those guys, I mean, we want to maximize the number of snaps and plays and games that they can play in. So waiting for the right opportunity when we absolutely need them, that's a fine line, right? Because you're trying, there's really no way of guessing when a guy might get hurt or be out of your lineup. So,
do you any chance to get Julius Irvin back this week or soon?
Yeah, Julius probably won't be able to play the rest of the season. So he'll probably be out for the year.
Injury related?
Yeah, injury related, yeah.
Have you crossed paths with Dan Lanning outside of media days at all?
No, but we talked a little bit, and, you know, certainly have some, when it comes to playing days, got some, you know, similar backgrounds. So he's done an awesome job here in year one, you know, and got his team playing confident and, you know, leading them in a great way. So a lot of respect for how he's handled his first year as a coach there at Oregon, for sure.
Caleb, how much of a bonus is it that the team overcame adversity the game before, that you're going on the road, a rivalry game? How much of a bonus is that?
What was the first part?
How much of a bonus is it, confidence builder, that your team overcame some adversity to go
this last week?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think every game there's been a learning piece, right? You know, battling back and forth with Cal, you know, and some things on the road there that we overcame and found a way to win. And this game, actually, you know, finishing it against a very good opponent. I think Oregon State's a very good football team. And, you know, you go back a couple weeks ago, Arizona, you know, here, and what we did, and having to finish that game out when they were making a push. So we've won different ways. Earlier in the year when we were in control, you know, and team started to close the gap, and then us finishing it off, you know. So I'm proud, and we use all those learning experiences. We talk about them on Sunday, you know, what happened, and hey, remember this now when we get in this moment, you know, you found a way to win. And you know, like, there's just a lot of variety now in how we've done that, and we're proud of being 7-2 right now, you know. But you know, plan on not being done. You know, a lot of football left to be played yet this year. Thank you. Yep.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS, here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent Island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.